If you got your Bibles, I'm excited about teaching tonight. We've got a lot of material. Now, I have, if you were not here Sunday morning in the Sunday school, you could go back online at our Facebook page and pick up the rest of the teaching on the rapture of the church. You can go there. I'm not going to do a lot of review tonight because I've got a lot to say tonight. But I want, before I get where I'm going, see, I'm a pre-trib rapturist. I don't apologize for that. It's Bible. And you might say, how did you get there? I'm glad you asked. Would you turn with me? I'm going to take you a couple places, but I'm going to take you one place to start the whole service tonight. I think one of the most important, if not the most important verse in the Bible to show you how to get the right doctrine. Why is it there's so much, many denominations? Why is there cults? I mean, the early church was one in doctrine. The Bible said they continued in the apostles' doctrine. And I want you to know something. There is a reason you get into false doctrine and false teaching. Now I'm going to show you. This is an important verse. Look at 2 Timothy 2 and 15. And then I'm going to go to Hebrews 9 in a moment to start the lesson. We've been preaching on a rapture you can't miss. We've talked about that thoroughly. I'm not going to go any farther with that. Tonight we'll deal with a judgment you must face. And that's talking about believers. But I want you to look, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Study to show thyself approved unto God. I'll tell you why we got a lot of false doctrine. We got shallow Bible students. Amen. We're living in a day where most people don't study the Bible. I mean, let's forget about, most people don't even read the Bible. But they predominantly don't study the Bible. Now look at this. Are y'all here? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You want me to tell you why the Catholics are wrong? And the Mormons are wrong? And the Muslims are wrong? And the Methodists are wrong? And some Baptists are wrong? The Episcopalians are wrong? Can I keep on going? You said you shouldn't say that kind of thing. No, I'm just going to tell you why I don't agree with them and why they've got into false doctrine. It's because they don't rightly divide the word of truth. See, the early church believed the same thing. And why have we in this time have so many? I mean, listen to me. We've got folks that absolutely believe false doctrine. I know people that believe you ought to be baptized to be saved. That's not in the Bible. Hey, somebody, I've been preaching hard on the Calvinists. You know why I believe they're wrong? They don't rightly divide the word of truth. Hey, they can't get Calvinism out of the Bible. They got to try to fit it in the Bible. You know why the contemporary movement's wrong? They don't rightly divide the word of truth. You know why the charismatic movement's wrong? Because they don't rightly divide the truth. And you know why you could be wrong? Is you don't rightly divide the truth. And I'm going to make a statement. Now, I want you to turn to another passage so we can start tonight. The reason I'm going so deep in this thought is because I'll give you a classic example on this second point on this message on where people don't rightly divide the truth. And they can get in the error real quick. There's a lot of people don't believe in eternal security. You cannot read that Bible and not believe in eternal security if you rightly divide the word of truth. Am I right? Why is folks off the radar? Now, before you go out here and say, boy, he preached against everything. And I'm not saying all these folks are going to hell. I mean, some of them got it right about salvation, but they're wrong about a lot of stuff. Now, the cults are going to hell. Now, I mean, if you don't believe that Jesus come in the flesh, you are Antichrist. And the Mormons don't. The Jehovah Witnesses don't. The Christian Scientists don't. Boy, good preaching, Reverend. You know why there's so many messed up churches tonight? It's because folks don't rightly divide the word of truth. That's why they don't understand what the rapture is. That's why they don't know what premillennialism is. They just never studied the Bible line upon line and precept upon precept. Now I'm going to give you a classic example tonight, because tonight we'll be talking about the judgment we must face. Now, as believers, we will. But I want to go somewhere, and I want you to follow the thought. Turn to Hebrews 9 and 27. Everybody go there. I want to teach you some things tonight. I really want you to follow me in the Bible. Some of this will be on PowerPoint, and I want you to follow me in the Bible. Now, let's just read this. And as it is appointed unto men, once to what? Now, hold a minute. It says that we're going to die. But you know what it also says in the Bible? There's a mystery. That some won't die. Now, look at the last phrase. But after this, the what? Now, wait a minute. I had a guy come up to me and said, okay, here's what's going to happen. Here's what he said, Alison. You're going to die. Then you're going to go to judgment. There's a lot of people believe that. You die, you're going to judgment. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's just not true. And there's not just one judgment in the Bible. Again, rightly divide the word of truth. You know why? We got some people believe the last judgment is the goat and sheep's. The lost people are the goats, saved people are the sheep, and that's the last judgment. That's not the last judgment. So what happened? Why does people come up with that, Zach? They don't rightly divide the word of truth. So I'll tell you what I've done. Just to show you on a PowerPoint tonight, and then what I'll do after I get done, and I may not get done with this, but after I get done with this, I'm going to teach you a little bit about the judgment seat of Christ, but I'm not going to go into it in the depth that I normally would. I'm just going to show you where it's at. I don't want to do that. We've got a lot of teaching to do. But I want you to notice something. What did I say we need to do, Zach? Rightly what? So how many judgments are in the Bible then? It's a, what's the point of man once to die, then after this judgment, then one judgment? One? Absolutely not. You said, how do you know they've got just one? Because I've went through the Bible and rightly divided the truth, and I came out of the Bible finding out there's seven judgments in the Bible. Wow. And why is it the Church of God only believes in one? Why is it the Nazarene just believe in one last judgment? They don't believe in the judgment seat of Christ. They have no faction. They don't understand that. You said, you're going to get some hate mail if you keep this up. I can't help it. I'm teaching you tonight. I don't even have to put this out on YouTube. I'm just teaching you tonight because there are a lot of people in error and somebody needs to reveal the truth. All right, let's go ahead. I'm going to tell you where the first judgment was. And what I'm going to do on each one of these judgments, I'm going to show you when and show you where. Number one, I'm going to talk about the most important judgment of all. You know what that is? Oh, I'll tell you it's important. It's the judgment of sin. When did that happen? Around 30 AD. And it could be a year or two, one way. I said around. When did it happen? About 30 AD. Where did it happen? Up on Mount Calvary. Here's what the Bible says. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Y'all with me? I'll tell you why you're going, not going to hell and you're going to heaven. It's not your good works, your church membership, or your baptism. I'll tell you what happened. God laid the sins of us all upon his son. And then when we received Christ, he laid his righteousness upon us. He was judged for sin before any other judgments. That judgment, he took my place. How many's glad he took your place? The Son of God became the Son of Man, that we that are the Son of Men can become the sons of God. Y'all with me? Let's go to number two. And I'm going through these quickly. But I just want to show you there's more than just one. And number two, and that's the judgment of self. When's that take place? Every minute of your life. If you're saved, you ought to judge yourself so you don't get chastised. Where does it happen? While we're living and breathing and serving God. You said, prove it. 1 Corinthians 11:31. For if we judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. By the way, if you read all that letter, that church was judged, and there's some people sick, and there were some people dead because of their sin, and they didn't judge their sin. So there's two judgments. Now let's go on. Now this one I'll come back to. And that's where we'll finish at. The judgment seat of Christ. When's that going to happen? At the rapture. Where's it going to happen? In heaven. And we know the Bible said, over in Revelation 4, it said that the 24 elders had crowns on their head. And white raiment. Well, where did they get the white raiment? Where did they get the crowns? They had come through the judgment. They had come through the judgment seat of Christ and received their awards. And their awards were crowns. And eventually took those crowns off and threw them up to the feet of the Lord Jesus. That's the judgment seat of Christ. I know people don't believe that. A lot of Calvinists don't believe in the judgment seat of Christ because they're postmillennialists and everything else. Hello? Am I preaching? How many is starting to see what I'm talking about? Well, let me just give you some more. Now, one of the tragedies of this day, look at me, this needs to be heard. You know why there's a lot of false doctrine? You know why Calvinists exist? Most of them? Because they replace Israel. Or place Israel with the church. That's why they misinterpret Romans 8, Romans 9, 10, and 11. Because that's talking about corporate election of Israel and not individual election of the church. But Israel is going to be the main focus during the tribulation period. Am I right? So when will their judgment take place? And by the way, I hope you're jotting down these verses. I told you I'd give you all this outline when I'm done. When will it take place? At the end of the tribulation. where on the earth? Now, let me show you the scripture. You not jot this down so you can go home and study it, where the Bible says Israel is going to be judged. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 33 and 34. As I live, saith the Lord, surely with a mighty hand will I stretch out, and with fury pour out, will I rule over you, and I will bring you out from the people, and I will gather you out of the country wherein you're gathered with a mighty hand, and stretch out my arm with fury poured out. So right there, Christ is going to purge out the rebels. And you read that whole section, verse 20 all the way to 34. He's going to purge out the Jewish rebels, and he's going to save Israel. Read Romans 11. Oh, Israel's going to be saved. That nation is going to be saved and go into the millennial kingdom. And Jesus is going to sit on the throne of David. And David's going to sit right beside of him. Amen? Wait a minute. Where'd you come from up with all this? I rightly divided the word truth. I've studied my whole life the Bible. I didn't get this just from a commentary or systematic theology. I've read line upon line and precept upon precept, and I have formed my doctrine by the scripture. He said, well, I didn't know Israel was going to be judged. You know why? You haven't studied it. Now I want you to read that whole passage from about verse 20 to 23 or 33. Now, let me give you the fourth one. Go ahead to Matthew 25. I'm going to show you something. When you get there, say amen. The judgment of the nations. What in the world is this? There are going to be some people left on this planet after the rapture. And there are going to be two witnesses that's going to preach, and 144,000 saved Jews. And by the way, while I'm there, go read that passage of scripture in chapter 7 of Revelation. It says there's 12,000 from each tribe, and they're virgins. And somebody, I've heard people try to interpret today, these reformers, and said, well, that's actually the church. Wait a minute. Since when is the church the tribe of Israel or tribe of Benjamin and Joseph? That's not the church. That's 12,000 people of the 12 tribes making up the 144,000. And they're not Jehovah Witnesses. In the sense of the cult Jehovah Witnesses. But they are the true Jehovah Witnesses that will witness during the tribulation period after we're gone. And there are going to be people get saved during the tribulation. Amen? I'm going to show you. Go to Matthew 25. A lot of people say, well, this is the last judgment. No, not true. Because I want you to see it. Are you there? When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of glory. So when is this going to take place? At the end of the tribulation period, when the Son of Man comes with us and the angels. And before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them from one another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them, on the right hand, come ye of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you saw, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we a hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And here's what he said. And the king shall answer, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Amen? For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. Now, excuse me, look at verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye accursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for what? The devil and his angels. Now, listen to me. Here's what's going to happen. Those living nations, sheep nations, who were kind to Israel because of their faith in Christ, is going into the kingdom of God or the millennial kingdom in bodies. You say, well, I didn't know that. Oh, yes. And by the way, they're going to have children. And the curse is going to be lifted. And if a person dies during the millennium, it will be because of accidental death or somebody killed them. And by the way, oh, I like this. Capital punishment has kind of been outlawed in our country, but it will be restored in the millennial kingdom. Oh, good preaching, Reverend. And by the way, I think it ought to be in every state in this country. So, oh, y'all getting anywhere with me? I've done showed you five of them, haven't I? Am I doing all right? Well, let me give you another one. The judgment of Satan and the demons. I'm thrilled at this. There's a passage of scripture. I don't have it in my notes, but I can quote it. This makes me real happy. It says, talking to the church, ye shall judge angels. You know what we get to do one day? We get to judge the devil and every one of his demons. So, let me show you in the Bible. Revelation 20 and 10 says, And the devil that deceived him was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now look at Jude 6. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of that great day. He said, I didn't know that. Well, why don't we know? We don't rightly divide the word of truth. Now, let me give you the last one. Here's what really blows my mind. It's the great white throne judgment. And look at me. The great white throne judgment is not the judgment of nations. The judgment of nations is going to happen here on earth. The judgment of the white throne is going to be up in heaven. I'll show you that in a moment. When's it going to happen? At the end of time? Where's it going to happen? It's going to happen at the throne of God. Can I read it to you? And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things were written in the books according to their works. Are y'all with me? And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to what? and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. I want all you to know that's the last judgment. Now look at me. That cannot happen, Zach. It cannot happen at least for 1,007 years. Got to have the rapture, the tribulation, and the 1,000-year millennial reign, and then that happens. How many's learned something? Seven. Hold on. You see, where you find that all that stuff? In the Bible. Carefully studying. Carefully praying. Carefully interpreting. And I'm going to tell you how I got it right. I'm not trying to be proud or put myself above somebody. You know why I got it right? I got it right because I let the Holy Spirit show me in the Word of God. Amen. And rightly divide the Word of God to me. And you can't understand the Bible without the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, I'm going to conclude. I got 12 minutes. And I want to go back to... We must all be judged, okay? I want to talk about the judgment seat of Christ. I showed it to you, didn't I? But now I want to talk about it. This term, by the way, how many people saved? Raise your hand. Every one of us in this room will stand there. The term comes from the Greek word bema. It's an accounting given by the believers for their works and faithfulness during their Christian life. This is not, let me make it plain, this is not a judgment of salvation, but it's of service. It stands in stark contrast to the white throne judgment. The time of the judgment is at the rapture. And the place after the rapture and before the second coming. Here's what's going to happen. Our actions will be evaluated. Our motives will be evaluated. Am I preaching? By the way, you know something? I want to get this across to you. You know, you can do a lot of good Christian works, and if you don't have the right motive and the right attitude, they'll all burn. And I know a lot of people that their works are going to burn. They're saved. They're going to heaven. If you go to that judgment, you're going to heaven. But the works going to burn. So it didn't have the right action, the right motive. Now let's look at this. Get that PowerPoint up to a comparison of the judgment seat. Will you do that for me? Let's look at this. And I want to compare the judgment seat of Christ to the great white throne judgment. The persons at the judgment seat of Christ are believers only. The person at the great white throne judgment is unbelievers. The scripture for the judgment seat of Christ is Romans 14:10, 1 Corinthians 3:10-15, and 2 Corinthians 5:10, where it said we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The scripture for the white throne judgment is Revelation chapter 20, verse 11-15. The basis of the judgment is faithfulness in Christ and being resolute in good works, even our motivations. The great white throne, rejection of Christ. And by the way, only people going to be at the white throne is those that reject Jesus. Amen. And I'm sick of hearing Calvinists tell me you can't reject Jesus. Right. Any man that don't receive the Christ, the child of God, does reject Jesus. Amen. You do always resist the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Right. When's the time? Between the rapture and the second coming, that's when the judgment seat. When's the time of the white throne? At the end of the millennial. What's the result? Boy, this is important. Rewards or the loss of rewards? What's the result of the white throne judgment? The lake of fire. Am I preaching? Amen. Now I want y'all to know something. This judgment seat we're going to. Now it bothers me. It does, for the simple reason, I don't want to see no works burned up. because of my attitude and my motivations. I want them to go through the fire. But I want to tell you, if all my works burned up, and they're not, but if they all did, and I'm saved by the blood of Christ, the same shall be saved, even so as by fire. How many's with me? Am I right? Amen. You know, Chad, sometimes I'll get and make this judgment. You know, some people think I'm a little extreme. And there's a lot of people too light. I'm trying to be right down the middle. I can't always tell you, but I do know you're going to be judged according to your works, both good and bad. A bad work has to be a work after the flesh. And a good work is a work after the Spirit. Would you agree with that? Amen. And by the way, I know preachers preach after the flesh. And when they stand before God, they're not going to get the shepherd's crown. And by the way, there's five crowns. Boy, am I preaching tonight. And I don't know, I don't have this in my notes, so if I give you any of this, it'll all be my memory. But let me see if I can remember some. I may not get them in order, Chad. There's a soul winner's crown. 1 Thessalonians 2. Amen. There's a shepherd's crown. 1 Peter 5 for the pastor. There is a martyr's crown, or a crown for those that overcome trials in James 2. That's three, right? Let me see. Oh, there's an incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians 9:27 for those that keep their body into subjection. Now, what's the fifth one? And the crown of righteousness for looking for the Lord. Now, I'm going to make a statement. I want you to hear, I'm teaching you tonight. You get no crown because you're saved. What you get is a robe of righteousness, and you're going to heaven. And you're missing hell. If you get a crown, it's because you worked and you done it with the right attitude. And by the way, I'm going to give you some good advice. You can take it or leave it. Quit judging everybody else that's a Christian on whether they're doing right, because you've got enough to stand for by yourself.
Amen.
I mean, I could spend all day saying, well, I'm a better Christian than them. Look at them. But see, you ought not measure yourself with them. You ought to measure yourself with Christ. I see too much of it. Well, that guy, he's not sincere. Well, how do you know if he's sincere or not? That woman's not sincere. Well, how do you know? You don't know their heart. We don't know everybody's heart. We go around judging people like we're something out of heaven. We're not Christ. You don't know somebody's heart. But I do know this. I know the one that searches the heart. Let me say, I'm finished. Can I sit down here? I was gonna say, you said, why are you sitting? Because I need rest a minute. Why do we judge everybody else? Their spirituality? You know, there's preachers probably doing wrong in America. But it ain't up to me to take that call. It's up to the Lord. And probably some of them think I'm doing wrong. I want you to all know this. I'm a body of clay. And I have to make mistakes. Everybody in this world does. But I'll tell you what we need to be less concerned with. It's about everybody else and not ourselves. You want to pray every morning, Natalie? God, help me our actions today. And Lord, give me the right attitude. I got to be honest with you. I'm going to tell you something, I fight. I'm 71 years old and I still fight this. I fight when somebody upsets me, keeping the right attitude. I tell you what I got to keep is a forgiving, benevolent, kind heart, and not judge others, and keep a right spirit, and let God take everybody at the judgment seat and the white throne judgment. You want to get out of the will real quick? Just get your eye, keep your eyes on people. You know why, Jeff, we probably, a lot of people not going to get their full reward? It's because they're too busy watching everybody else and not looking at themselves. Is that good preaching?
Amen.
I'm not, you know, people say, well, you're a big preacher because you got a big congregation. No, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And I got the congregation I got because of the grace of God and the mercy of God, and God just blessed me for whatever reason. I want to tell you, there's not big preachers, little preachers. They're just God-called preachers, and all of them can get a full reward, and you can get a full reward if you have the right attitude and the right action. Man, I got, I don't have very many preachers call me anymore. You know why? I'm going to tell you why I'm done. You know why? I have a preacher every once in a while call me and say, would you hear about that preacher that failed? And you know what I tell him? I'm too worried about me falling instead of condemning somebody else that falls. That's the Bible said, when you've done all, stand. I don't glory in one man, one woman, one boy and a girl falling. It's a great tragedy when it happens. I tell you what I want to have. And I don't always have it. But I tell you what, if I wake up in the morning and say this to God, God, check my attitude today. Check my actions today. Are they pleasing? I want to please you. I did that today. I've had a great day. I'm wore out because we worked in... and we've planned all day. This has been a big day. But I want you to know something. I'm going to see him one day and I'm going to be judged. And I know that I'm in control of a lot of what's going to happen. What kind of attitude do I have? What kind of actions am I proclaiming? Have I given you something tonight? How many said there was faith? Amen. Stand with me. If tonight you know you're going to stand before the judgment seat, if Christ would come tonight, would you be confident and bold at the judgment seat if he came tonight? Or is there some things in your attitude and action needs to be taken care of? Father, help Lois as she sings and Chad as he finishes the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.